American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. I've got my eye right now on a congressional hearing that's expected to begin any second now. And it could be a good one if they ask real questions, which I can't promise you, given the fact that it's our own members of the swamp who will likely be present in all of this. The House Judiciary Committee is having a hearing, and Pam Bondi is expected to speak. The Justice Department oversight hearing going on today. It's expected to begin any second now. We will bring that to you once it begins, because I want to hear if anyone's going to answer some tough questions. I'm sure they're going to mention Epstein, those on the left. So buckle up, folks. We've got that coming your way in just a little bit. I will also be walking you through the latest developments regarding Epstein. Not much in the way of new things to have dropped, except Congressman Roy Khan, I think I'm saying it wrong, probably saying it wrong. He detailed the six men who we told you about yesterday who are, their names were redacted. He actually went onto the House floor yesterday and spoke about their names. Again, it's allegations. Doesn't mean that they were out there sexually abusing children, but their names were redacted, and we will play that clip for you. And I will also offer that disclaimer as well then as well, because mainly due to the fact that, I don't want to accuse someone of doing something that they didn't do, but it makes me concerned when you see the federal government is actually covering up for them. And so I think it's important to play that in its context. We'll also play a clip from Joe Rogan as well, because it gets very, very interesting given the update regarding the FBI and his response to that. So we got that coming your way. We also are keeping our eye as to what's going on in Congress. There are certain members in Congress specifically who are out there right now trying to explain to the American people the threat that this massive Islamic import that we've taken in over these last few years, these millions of Muslims that have come into our country, the threat that it poses here in the United States. A couple of brave groups of individuals have come out and are speaking out against it. And the reason why I call them brave is because once you do, it's a massive attack that's launched your way. People accuse you of, possibly being paid off by Israel. But most importantly, that doesn't even bother me. The point that bothers me the most is the Islamic groups that do actually go after you. So these are brave individuals who are speaking out on the issue. I'm talking about like people like Congressman Andy Biggs, who's running for Arizona governor, and people like Congressman Brandon Gill, who is a congressman here in Texas. These individuals, we got clips, are out here detailing specifically why this is a threat. Also important to note, Andy Biggs will also be telling us on how Sharia law is actually being utilized here in the United States right now, and you don't even know it. So I'll break that down for you as well. No surprise, but there's a big, big issue right now, too, with the election integrity battles that's going on right now. As many of you know, the DOJ has been trying to force states, blue states specifically, and some red as well, to cough up their voter rolls because they wanted to look at them. Interesting enough, though, the DOJ just lost its battle in Michigan, and it comes at the hands of a Trump appointee. I will break that report down for you as well because I read through that. And we also read through the Fulton County. I was the unsealed affidavit on that raid. Wendy Mahoney will possibly be joining us in this hour. Again, it's kind of all we're just winging in at this point because there's so much news breaking. I did ask Wendy. Wendy's an independent journalist who's been covering everything related to Fulton County. I did ask her to come on and step onto the show. So we will see if she's got time to join us. Right now, though, it does look like she'll be with us. But we'll stay put and we'll wait for that one. I don't want to make any promises that we can't keep for you. Also, we do have Joseph McBride joining the program, too. He's a great attorney, a trial attorney, and I wanted his take on everything related to Pam Bondi and what's being said right now in that hearing. So he'll join us on that, plus break down a lot of these legal battles that are going on right now and what it means to the America First movement. I can't say MAGA anymore because it just makes me feel icky because I feel like it's been overtaken. So I guess we'll go with America First at this point. It's an ongoing developing situation. Also, there's a new billionaire moving to Florida and it has me on edge. It's got me on edge. I don't think it should be allowed. I don't. I'll tell you who it is. It's someone that you and I don't like. And I don't like the fact that they're ditching California, a blue state, and moving to Florida, a red state, because we all know what that means. So folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in the second hour of the program. A lot happening over here, so stay put.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Second hour of the program. We're keeping our eye right now as to what's happening on the Hill. We're expected to hear from Pam Bondi in a moment as we look on over to see what's happening in the Judiciary Committee hearing today. Jim Jordan just started speaking. They just did the pledge. And we expect it to be underway in just a few moments. When that begins, when Pam Bondi begins to speak, we will bring that directly to you, of course. So that should be a good hearing if they ask the tough questions. And we hope they ask the tough questions. But folks, while we wait for that to begin officially, I wanted to talk a little bit about Epstein, because I'm sure that's going to be hot on everyone's minds as we watch this hearing. But specifically, Congressman Ro Khan, this is the individual who's from California, the Democrat, who's been teaming up with Congressman Thomas Massie to bring you the Epstein files. They've been applying a lot of pressure. Now, yesterday we played for you a couple of sound bites, but one from Thomas Massie explaining how there were key individuals whose names were redacted. Now, interesting enough, we now see some of these names. And I want to, before we play this clip, I want to issue you this disclosure. This doesn't mean that these men's name that you're about, the men that you're going to hear, their names, does not mean that they sexually abused children. We have to just be very clear about that. Their names were just redacted. And again, there's a lot of names being thrown out there. Not all of them were abusing children. And unfortunately, due to the fact that we're not getting a real investigation, I don't think we're ever going to know who exactly was raping children on Epstein Island, on his private plane, in his New York City apartment, the New Mexico apartment as well, or the home in New Mexico. I don't think we're going to hear it, but I just want to keep issuing that disclosure so that everyone knows, because, you know, this congressman is saying these names because he has immunity. Okay. So I don't want to misrepresent any of this. I want to be very, very clear. These names that you're going to hear do not indicate any signs of guilt. Take a listen to clip six.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday, Congressman Massie and I went to the Department of Justice to read the unredacted Epstein files. We spent about 2 hours there, and we learned that 70 to 80% of the files are still redacted. In fact, there were six wealthy, powerful men that the DOJ hid for no apparent reason. When Congressman Massie and I pointed this out to the Department of Justice, they acknowledged their mistake, and now they have revealed the identity of these six powerful men. These men are Salvatore Navora, Zurab Mikolaj, Leopig Leonor, Nicola Caputa, Sultan Ahmed bin Suleyam, CEO of Dubai Ports World, and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner, who was labeled as a co-conspirator by the FBI. Now, my question is, why did it take Thomas Massie and me going to the Justice Department to get these six men's identities to become public? And if we found six men that they were hiding in 2 hours, imagine how many men they are covering up for in those 3 million files. But the story gets worse. The reality is that Donald Trump's FBI scrubbed these files in March, long before Thomas Massie and I passed the Epstein Transparency Act.
Thank you, Mr.
Now, my bill is clear. The Epstein Transparency Act requires them to unredact those FBI files. And yet the Justice Department said to me and to Congressman Massey, we just uploaded whatever the FBI sent us. And guess what? The FBI sent scrubbed files. That means the survivor's statement to the FBI, naming rich and powerful men who went to Epstein's Island, who went to his ranch, who went to his home and raped and abused underage girls or saw underage girls being paraded, they're all hidden. They're all redacted. It's a little bit of a farce. They're inviting all the members of Congress to go to see the Department of Justice, quote unquote, unredacted files, but they've got all redacted files from the FBI. And it's not the fault of the Justice Department attorneys. They were just told upload things that Donald Trump's FBI had already scrubbed. It's a blatant violation of the Epstein Transparency Act, but it also asks a fundamental question. Who are they protecting? Why are they protecting these rich and powerful men, people I call part of the Epstein class? Why are we in a country where there is no elite accountability for people who do the most heinous things? You have in England the king now calling for an investigation and possible prosecution of his own brother. You have in Norway the princess who no longer has support to be the queen. And yet in the United States of America, we have someone in the cabinet, Howard Lutnick, who is all over these Epstein files, who allegedly had business with Epstein after he was convicted of pedophilia, and he still is in the cabinet. We need to ask ourselves, are we in America going to have elite accountability? Are we going to call on rich and powerful people who broke the law or cavorted with a pedophile, a convicted pedophile? Are we going to call them to account? Are we going to have prosecutions for billionaires who went to this island and either raped underage girls or saw underage girls being raped and didn't say anything? Are we going to have investigations? I'll tell you what this is about. It's not just about the 1,200 survivors. It's about two tiers of justice.
Now, again, those are just allegations, but there's not making a direct connection between the men's names that he did name on the floor and the rapes that were taking place by Jeffrey Epstein and others. So it's very, very clear that we need to be very, very clear about that. I don't know how else to say it. But folks, I think it's important for the American people to hear exactly what's going on right now. This is a newsworthy topic, and we should be able to divulge this information. The DOJ is not doing their job. I mean, the fact that the DOJ is sitting here running cover is deeply, deeply concerning, because we were told, and again, Pam Bondi speaking in just a few moments, we were told that this is a brand new DOJ, that transparency is going to be key under this administration. Doesn't seem to be the case, especially because we're seeing the emails from March of 2025, which show that there were top officials that were supposed to be redacted, their names covered up for it. They weren't victims. They weren't victims. And it's interesting because a lot of people are fired up about this, and it's new. The FBI concluded that Epstein wasn't running a trafficking ring for powerful men, files show. Now, that's a real thing. That did come out recently. Like, very, very recently. So that's under this FBI. And I would love to ask the FBI director directly, do you think that there was no such thing as a sex trafficking ring that was being run by Jeffrey Epstein? It's hard when you sit there and you say they claim that there's over 1,200 victims. It's hard for me to believe that there's over 1,200 victims and there's no sex trafficking ring. And if that's the case, the FBI concluded that, then why the heck is Ghislaine Maxwell sitting in prison right now for human trafficking? Who did she traffic these victims to? The FBI says that there's no trafficking. None of this makes any sense. And in fact, if you feel like this doesn't make any sense, you're not alone. You're not alone. Joe Rogan was actually doing an interview with RFK Jr.'s wife, but he was actually going over that same document I was talking about in clip 7. Take a listen.
FBI concluded Jeffrey Epstein wasn't running a sex trafficking ring for powerful men, file show.
So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Who says that? What's that source?
Yeah, it's going around. I just found the place that was showing the headline. It was going around the internet today.
Oh, today?
Yeah, the AP. It's the AP reporting it. Yeah.
Today. Oh, I thought that was from, from 2005.
This is like the FBI stating
I was like,
it today.
Oh, that's today.
That's the gaslightiest gaslighting shit I've ever heard in my life.
Whoa.
What do they think is going on? Just a bunch of fun? Bunch of guys hanging out?
That is.
Being fellas? Having cocktails, talking about science?
They're still looking into it, but they don't have any evidence.
Look into it. Maybe Get Eddie Bravo on the case.
I'm looking into it. That is
the name of a show.
Crazy.
Look into it. Oh, it's so crazy. It's but there's probably a lot of that that's gone on forever.
Yeah.
And it's also probably a way that they can secure business deals and make sure that people do things they want to do. They have a little something over them. They do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that.
For sure. Yeah. This is what, I mean, that's what Epstein was all about, was manipulating people and, holding it over their head, getting them to do something.
Allegedly.
That's what they say every 10 seconds. Allegedly. It's so unfortunate, right? Because if the FBI authentically did a real investigation, we wouldn't have to worry about, because I don't want to falsely accuse anyone of anything. That's never my goal here. I would be able to give you the actual names of the men that were raping children. And unfortunately, we can't do that because our federal government's refusing to look over the facts. They're refusing to do the most simple things, like investigate these things. You can't tell me that Jeffrey Epstein wasn't running a human trafficking ring. Then why the heck were you trying to pull up about 3.5 million documents from him? Doesn't make any sense. We're not buying it. The American people have had enough of this. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's possibly some type of truth in any of this. Again, this is only being brought forward because President Trump did make it a top campaign issue that he wanted these files released. And the American people wanted to hold him to that because there's been so many questions about all of this. And we're learning more and more. I mean, so many victims came forward to report this to the FBI. And what happened? Nothing. This is constantly the problem with this. When women come forward, when girls come forward, when boys come forward to report sexual abuse, they're constantly turned away from law enforcement. And the FBI, it was like a dead zone, right? You gave a tip. You said something happened to you. Maybe you heard something happen to someone else. You reported it to the FBI, and all of a sudden, nothing goes on. It's just dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. We can't look into any of this. But trust the FBI's report that no sex trafficking happened here. So they've done everything possible to make sure the American people can't trust them. And now they're just telling you, just trust me, bruh. I don't trust anything that's coming out right now. I don't. And again, I don't want to accuse men who may have not known who Jeffrey Epstein was prior to his conviction. I don't want to accuse them of sexually abusing children. That's not my intention. My intention is to put out the facts. And unfortunately, because our federal government is refusing to do its job, we can't tell you exactly who is out there raping children. So when these names get circulated, just understand something, folks. Understand that this doesn't mean that they're guilty. Yeah, I think it also means that they're morally corrupt if they were trying to do business with Epstein after he was convicted of all of these heinous crimes. Well, not all of them, sorry. They didn't do a thorough investigation. But everything that was taking place in Florida. If you were doing business with a convicted pedophile, I'm sorry, you're a horrible person. And you should be canceled, like completely canceled. I don't even call for cancel culture normally. But if you were okay with sitting side by side a convicted pedophile and trying to cut out business deals, but then you say, oh, no, I wasn't raping children. I was just there to talk out business with him. And I'm waiting to see Steve Bannon respond to the accusations that have come forward, because the text messages that were dropped yesterday that I saw circulating, and I did go back, they did come from Steve Bannon. I think it's worth an explanation. I think the American people need to hear from Bannon. And listen, I've liked the guy. I think he's a great guy. I mean, I love hearing his takes on a lot of things. I think it helps expand the discussion quite often. But when you're looking at these text messages, it looks bad. Everyone should be able to defend themselves, and I want to hear them defend themselves. I want to hear what their takes are on all of this. I don't know. I don't have any personal friends, especially those in the administration who were texting Jeffrey Epstein. And they've been doing this for years now. It's quite strange that so many people, I mean, we see the documents. President Trump knew that Epstein was a creep years prior. He cut off and severed ties with him. So it's weird to me that other people are still lingering around. Yes, he was obviously a very wealthy man, but still, I guess we all have a price. To keep somebody like Jeffrey Epstein in your orbit, was there really a price tag on that? Even if you weren't trying to do any creepy trips to Epstein Island? We've got a ton of questions that we need answered. And we hope that we get some answers, but probably not today at this hearing. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Islam. again, yesterday, there was a couple of very brave members of Congress who were speaking out on the issue of the millions of Muslims we've imported into this country. And yeah, I get it. Some of them are peaceful. They're not bad people. I get that. But the reality of it is what's in the Quran does not, it doesn't work in the West. It doesn't. And if you say you're a Muslim and you're following what's in the Quran, it does not belong in the West. Congressman Brandon Gill, who's in Texas and who is representing a district, which is another district in Texas, which is being overtaken by these Muslims who have been brought into the country. Well, he's detailing exactly and breaking down what the threat is here on the homeland and what this means to the American people who sit there and say, oh, no, these people are just peaceful, but they want to bring Sharia law in. And he breaks down a poll that details just that. Take a listen to clip 9.
What percentage of U.S. Muslims believe that Sharia law should be implemented in the United States?
So I'm not aware of survey data on that specific question. However,
I can tell you it's 39%. 39% of Muslims in the United States want Sharia law implemented in the next 20 years. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States support the formation of a Muslim political party?
Again, I'm not familiar with survey data on that particular question.
Number is 46%. Do a couple more. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States support making it illegal to show a picture of the cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad?
So as with the other questions, a lot depends on the wording and the sample, and I would want to see those details 50%, of the methodology here.
That's a lot. Let's do one more. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States believe that Islam should be declared as our national religion?
Once again, I would want to look at the methodology of the survey, the questions.
33%. This is from a survey conducted by the Heritage Foundation in 2024, in September of 2024. It was published on October 6th, 2024. I got two more for you. Do you know what percentage of American Muslims believe that Israel does not have a right to exist as a Jewish homeland?
I don't know that one either, but if it's from a survey by the Heritage Foundation, they're known for their bad methodology. 43%.
You're happy. You can declare that statistics you don't like aren't true, but that's not how I'm going to operate here. We got one more. Do you know what percentage of Muslims in the United States say that Jewish people have too much power in government policy?
Once again, I would refer you back to my previous answer.
57%. Do those facts concern you?
I would want to see the nature of the survey, and I would also know the Heritage
Foundation. I'm just asking if those statistics concern you.
If they were accurate, they would be a matter of concern, but I would want to see.
They are accurate, and I think that they are a matter of concern, and I think most Americans agree with me.
All right, so obviously it comes from the Heritage Foundation, so spare me a bit with that one, but it is obviously concerning. It is obviously concerning. And the Jewish part to me doesn't really concern me because we obviously know there's a deep history there and all of that. But the part that really concerns me is the Sharia angle to all of this, that they do truly believe that we should be following Sharia law. Now, folks, again, this is something that it's banned already. And I hear these politicians and I want to be as kind as possible because I just don't know if it's a place of arrogance or it's a place of pretending like they're doing something. But Sharia is banned here in the United States. We know this because we have a U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution rules this land, and Sharia is not compatible with that. So if there was Sharia law being practiced here in the homeland, guess what? It's got to go. Andy Biggs, though, the congressman from Arizona who's now running for governor, in clip 10 actually outlines how he knows that Sharia is, in fact, being implemented here in the United States. Take a listen.
We have Sharia, because Sharia is an expansive term here. So I'm looking, and it says here, that where Sharia is, and this is on page 1 of your statement, the enforcement of foreign child custody judgments, that's coming into America, and we're relying on Sharia interpretations from other places. Is that accurate?
Yes. There's been numerous cases in which child custody judgments from either Islamic countries or even non-Islamic countries that have Sharia courts.
How does that square with Reynolds, for that, where you have a distinction between religious practices and behavior? And here we have Sharia determining actual child custody issues totally irrespective of religious practices. How does that square with Reynolds?
Well, clearly Reynolds would allow the government to regulate child custody, whether or not the child custody rules were favored or disfavored by a religion. However, there is a lack in our law of addressing comity of foreign judgments and the constitutionality of the process by which those foreign courts reach their judgments. There's even a Ninth Circuit case, the Nauco case, where the Ninth Circuit explicitly said that you can't do a constitutional analysis on a foreign judgment. So under current law, it appears as though foreign courts can do things that our courts would never imagine doing, would clearly violate constitutional rights, and those judgments are being brought here, and those judgments are being, on many occasions, enforced.
Yeah, and they would be inconsistent with American jurisprudence, but somehow we're incorporating some foreign jurisprudence into ours. And so now I'll go to you, Mr. Spencer.
All right, so we're keeping our eye, obviously, on Pam Bondi. She just began speaking, but she's doing her little introduction, so it'll be probably a fluffy one. So we'll hold off before we bring you straight there, but Pam Bondi is speaking right now at the hearing. Wendy Mahoney is going to be up next, too. Wendy Mahoney is an incredible independent journalist who covers a lot of really important stories. Specifically, though, she's here today to talk about Fulton County. As many of you guys know, that affidavit, the one that led to the raid at that Fulton County Election Center. Well, guess what, folks? It was unsealed yesterday. Wendy Mahoney is one of the incredible journalists who's been sifting through all of it. We've got it here. I did do some brief overview of what we saw in this document. I'll bring you my notes as to what we've uncovered from all of this. But Wendy's been doing a deep dive into it, and she understands what exactly was going on in Georgia. And again, they tried their very best to hide this information from coming out to the American people. They've done their very best to try to prevent those ballots from getting in the hands of the Trump administration. This isn't transparency. This is what the American people want. You know, if everything in Fulton County, now they're finally admitting that not everything was as safe as they were promising you it was. There was actually several different, five, we have a list of instances that could be quite concerning. Maybe possibly ballots getting scanned multiple times. Maybe ballots were altered. Well, there's more information that we're hearing on this. And it's everything that you've expected it to be. So if you're waiting for like the we were right moment, it's going to happen that next segment when we talk about what's going on in Fulton County. Because Fulton County, there's a lot going on in Fulton County that we need to address. Folks, in the meantime, I want to point you over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. First off, it's Alex's birthday. So if you're going to want to celebrate his birthday with him, support him over at the alexjonesstore.com. But most importantly, we just started this 50% off sale on bundles. Now, it's really important that you head on over right now and do just that. It is quite the impressive deal. We've got two bundles for you right now over at the shop, the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, as well as the Modern World Survival Stack. Those right now are 50% off. Now, each bundle includes three of your favorite supplements. Possibly, if you're looking for the Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle, that is going to include colostrum, methylene blue, and methylene red. And if you're looking for the Modern World Survival Stack, that one's going to include the Shilajit Complex, the sea moss capsules, as well as the atomic defense. Now, as many of you guys know, we are in flu season. So now is the time to grab yourself some atomic defense. Head on over right now to the shop. These are going to be on sale for a limited time, so lock it in. Also, just a little friendly reminder, whenever you subscribe to our supplements as well, you get that incredible 50% off discount. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Subscribe. You're going to get 50% off all supplements when you do just that over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, like, what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out. And we, the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, we, the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice in the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top. Private labeled. So incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene Blue Tincture. We've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even Methylene Blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene Red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose. CMOS capsules, incredible. Very strong, concentrated Irish CMOS. Natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank all of you that have gotten the products and all of you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 from the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're on board with us today. A lot happened kind of yesterday, a little bit, in front of Fulton County. As many of you guys know, Fulton County had their election center raided, and it was ultimately due to the 2020 election, which we all know, which we all truly, if you've been following it for a couple of years now, understand that, yeah, our election was actually stolen, and it was stolen because, well, nobody wanted to investigate it. We'll get into the details about that, but we have the unsealed affidavit, which allowed the war, which allowed the raid to take place in Fulton County. And we're learning more and more about it. Now, yesterday on X, I posted kind of my brief overview as I dug into a lot of this, but I'm not an attorney. And so it's important to remember just that. But when you're looking at all of this, it outlines pretty much what we've been discussing for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, we all knew what was going on in Fulton County. It was shady. We all knew that there was ballots being double scanned that they didn't want to tell you about. They just kept saying, oh, everything was safe and secure in Fulton County. Well, it doesn't appear to be the case. Now, Fulton County is admitting a lot of fault in all of this. Joining me to discuss as a woman who's been very focused in Fulton County and wasn't letting up anytime soon on the 2020 election is Wendy Mahoney. She's an independent journalist, has been doing a bunch of deep dives into all of this. You could find her on X. W Mahoney 5 is where you could find her on Twitter. Wendy, thank you for jumping on. I know this was last minute, so I appreciate you being here, but you've been digging into a lot of this. And the affidavit dropped yesterday. It's officially been unsealed and it's available for the American people. It's about 22 pages long, so it's not a bad read. What are you finding out in this affidavit?
Well, to be honest, not that much.
Yeah.
We've been reporting on this for, I'd say 4 or 5 years now. And Kevin Moncla and Joe Rossi and Garland Favorito and others have been doing a fantastic job of documenting all the things that went wrong in the Fulton County election, unlawful behavior, potentially, allegedly fraudulent behavior. So this affidavit for the warrant is no surprise to those of us who have been following this closely. However, there are some kind of surprising things in there that, especially with regard to witness number two, talking about the Shaw files. So let me look at my notes here. So it's important to note that Shaw files, if they're changed or deleted or manipulated in any way, it breaks verification, and it creates audit and evidentiary problems, and it weakens the chain of custody. It's a very, very significant development, and some of those files were changed well after the election. So that kind of brings to mind, you know, allegedly changed. So it kind of brings to mind, you know, why did that happen? And when you look at the constellation of issues associated with the Fulton County election, and by the way, Fulton County is a blueprint. You know, everybody's going, oh, you know, this happened everywhere. Well, they're absolutely 100% correct. Back in August, I coordinated bringing all this evidence to the DOJ. And it was shortly after that, that things began to really break loose. There were people interviewed by Ed Martin at the time in the weaponization part of the DOJ, which has now been folded, as you know. And then there is a contact in there who to whom I gave this. I know both this person and Ed Martin. And I gave him all the evidence. And I said at the time, because he wanted to do like 8 investigations. And I said, why would you do that? Why don't you take the data? I'm going to hand it to you on a silver platter. I'm going to give you all the evidence. So we did. We compiled it all and gave it to him. And then people were interviewed. And then, of course, on October 30th, Harmeet Dhillon sued Fulton County because Jan Johnston at the state election board had subpoenaed the Fulton County records in 2024. This has just been a long time coming. But what this affidavit does is it's now the FBI alleging criminal activity, you know, intentional activity. And that's very important to go on the record. My concern, to be honest with you, is that I know there to be many people who do not want to continue to investigate the election. And they do not want to see this kind of stuff come out. And as you know, I think there are about 46 ballot boxes missing from the the seizure. So I want to question what is that about? What are in those boxes? It is really unbelievable the shenanigans that have been going on with regard to this election. They are doing everything in their power to hide things. And like I said, Georgia is an absolute blueprint. There's nothing under the sun that didn't happen in Georgia that didn't happen elsewhere. Arizona, you name it. I mean, I've spoken with Patrick Kolbeck at length. I know about stuff that went on in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, where Patrick is. He's given everything to the DOJ. I mean, we have literally handed them on a silver platter. And of course, you know, while I didn't do the actual investigations, I've been giving these people a voice literally for years, writing factual articles on it. I am not one to sit down and talk about people, you know, with my opinion about what they're doing at all, and not with regard to this stuff. And it's very important that people understand that the media and election officials in the state, including Charlene McGowan and Kemp and Raffensperger and Gabriel Sterling, really have not been that cooperative with getting this evidence out. And it just begs the question, why is that? And this is not a partisan issue. Every voter suffers because of this. I just don't understand. And I don't understand why I have my readers contacting me in DM saying, oh, you know, on this radio show today in Atlanta, they're saying that there's no proof of any fraud or unlawful behavior in Fulton County. This is the radio station saying this today after this affidavit is released. I don't know what people need in the media. It's got to be purposeful. Yeah. They're lying. Sorry to say it. They have to be.
Yeah, Wendy, I want to go through, because they are lying, and I don't actually think that they've read any of this. I think they're probably running cover for the local officials in Fulton County, and that's probably why they're saying that. But, I mean, Fulton County admitted that it lacked, that it scanned images of all 528,777 ballots during its initial counts, but the tally itself doesn't match, and that's the problem here. It didn't match the tally. And so we're talking like double scan ballots, for an example. I know that's mentioned too. Mm-hmm. And there's these ballots that have since been changed. Now, the FBI director, Kash Patel, while you were speaking, actually, when they put out a tweet in regards to that, echoing that there is an ongoing investigation regarding the, I guess, the difference in the vote count. That seems to be a big part in all of this. But ultimately, I mean, this is super, super concerning. And I don't understand why you'd have these people locally who are saying that it's not taking place. And you're mentioning those who don't want this investigated. I want to bring up the name of Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, who claims to be a Republican, but he was actively looking to shut down any investigation, according to reports that were taking place behind the scenes in all of this. What do you know specifically about the active push to shut down these investigations into alleged election fraud?
I mean, it's on and on and on. I mean, for example, if you look at what True the Vote was doing at the time, True the Vote, and this was public, I wrote about it. True the Vote gave all the information they had on the Georgia election to the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations, and they were cooperating with them for a while, and then everything shut down. And then you have people like, so that article that I wrote on Fulton County New, when Joe Rossi stood up and spoke in the state election board meeting on January 21st, he said that, you know, this email that came out quite a while ago, but it's resurfaced again. It was in Kevin's 263-page report on Fulton County. And by the way, it's not just Fulton County. It's many counties in Georgia. I mean, almost all of them. But Joe Rossi said that there was an email between this Mike Pendergast, who worked for the elections group, and Nadine Williams and Rick Barron, who were on the Fulton County board. They were the director and deputy director at the time. And Pendergast said, oh, are you aware that there are double counted ballots in this? And, you know, I just want you to note that. Well, that was on November 19th of 2020. And then on December 19th, you know, of course, Raffensperger came out and, you know, talked about the risk limiting audits and all this other stuff. But by then, I suspect he knew that there were double counted ballots. And of course, they completely tried to bury it and say that it wasn't true, just like they do everything else. But that particular letter was important because it basically says that people at Fulton County knew there were issues. And so what we don't have right now, to my knowledge, is a paper trail about what did Nadine Williams say to people? Did she say anything to anyone else on the Fulton County? Did it just go to Rick Barron and her? Were they concerned about it? You know, did they bury it also? I mean, it's problematic again and again. And then you have these people like, you know, Happy Faces associated with Stacey Abrams. You have the election groups, which is Mike Pendergast, which is a CTCL funded organization running the elections. I mean, basically, that's illegal. They're not supposed to be running Georgia's elections. So it's almost like they contracted out this election. And why is that? And it allowed them to hide and suppress a lot of things. I mean, it's I just don't understand why this has had so much trouble getting traction. But I will tell you that it's been an incredible amount of information warfare. And that's not me putting my tinfoil hat on. I'm telling you, no matter what we've done to give them data and information and hardcore documents. I mean, if you look at that 263-page report, Brianna, it's got exhibits. It's completely transparent. There's no redactions. There's no, you know, oh, the public can't see these documents. It's all there. You just have to go through it and read it and look at the evidence. And that's the evidence that we gave to the DOJ in August.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to ask about that, too, because you mentioned Ed Martin. And obviously, Ed Martin's under fire right now. They did, you know, completely nuke the weaponization group that was something he was handling. And then I know Todd Blanche wants to pretend like everything's all friendly with Ed these days. I know from several sources that's not the case. But he's made several. And I see people tagging me in and they're like, Brianna, your reporting's false. I said, no, we've got people out here who are trying to dispute it by pretending like it's false. But I know 1,000% I'm accurate. I know that Todd Blanche is trying to uppercut Ed Martin. He tried his very best. I guess he got a little afraid when he saw Ed Martin the following day making his way into the White House. So he's probably like, please don't tell on me. But, you know, what are you hearing in regards to Ed Martin? Because you brought this to Ed Martin's table. I know that Ed Martin is someone who is all about going after this. What did you hear when you spoke to him? I mean, is there a glimpse of hope that this is still being handled appropriately? What's the status there?
So I do know Ed. I did not speak with him about this because I didn't want to put him in an awkward position.
Yeah,
I know him pretty well, but I did speak with the guy who's working with him, and I can talk a little bit more about that in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But what I think has happened is that Trump is surrounded by gatekeepers, and this is just my opinion, given what people have told me. And kind of what I'm gleaning from it. And some people have told me that directly, by the way. But the people, the two guys who are working in the weaponization, two pretty high level guys, Ed Martin and this other person, they could not get the FBI to cooperate. They could not get staff. They weren't given the resources to be able to properly investigate the election. And I don't even really know, although Trump is in touch a lot with our group, Kevin Monklin in specific, and Kurt Olson. And Kurt Olson has done some things. I mean, that raid was because, as the affidavit says, I knew that a raid was coming. I didn't know when it was would be. But Kurt was called directly by the president to do that. And I think the president, in not having talked to him directly, but knowing kind of his temperament and character, he probably just got sick of it. And he just said, I don't know what's going on in Georgia, but you need to get to the bottom of it. And that's when the raid happened. And so between these gatekeepers, between Trump, you know, but Todd Blanche is a layer of gatekeeping between that weaponization group and the president. And I think President Trump has a lot on his plate and he can't put out every fire. And then what I know about Ed, and, you know, I've had actually pretty lengthy discussions with people in groups that I'm in, signal groups, and they just got all over my case about why didn't Ed stand up for himself and why is he, you know, doing these kinds of posts on social media, standing with Todd Blanche. And my guess is that Ed Martin is mission focused and he knows we're running out of time. It goes fast and he wants to support the president and he doesn't want to be at the center of the controversy and cause. He wants to be able to further whatever he can while he's there. And if he were to come out and make statements and be negative and throw Todd under the bus. And again, this is just my opinion and my guess, knowing his character. He's trying to further Trump's mission in the best way that he can, given the limitations that he's been put under. That's my guess. Yeah. Ed is a gentleman and he's a wonderful man and he has utmost integrity. And I can tell you that these investigations, the J6, which I know a lot about, and so do you, and the election investigations have been very, very people in the administration have not wanted to further those investigations. And there's still many, many people in the administration, I'm sorry to say, who don't believe that the 2020 election was stolen, and their personal animus toward President Trump causes them to behave very poorly, in my opinion.
Yeah, Wendy, I'm seeing the same things as you're seeing, and we're talking to all different people from across all of this. And so it's got me really concerned. Even at the DOJ level, there's I keep getting all these people who are saying that they're resigning and they're just done. They're bowing out. I just got another resignation email that was forwarded to me last week. So there's a lot happening there, and it's really unfortunate. But folks at home, if you want to keep following all of this related to Fulton County and other topics that Wendy's covering, you got to head on over to X, give her a follow. WMAHONEY5. That's where you could find my girl, Wendy Mahoney, on X. Wendy, thank you. I know this is last minute, so we appreciate you jumping on with us. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Always great. A pleasure. Always a pleasure, my friend. All right, folks, I want to jump back over to the testimony that's being given right now in Congress by Pam Bondi. It looks like the Epstein victims have stood up. They are holding their hands up. Pam Bondi did address that when she started speaking, that she knew that they were present. Appears that they're all dressed in white right now. Let's listen in, because it seems like there's a little bit of a back and forth.
The email reads, quote, "Where are you? Are you okay? I loved the torture video." Only after members of Congress demanded that we see the unredacted files did the world learn the name of this individual, Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem, the chairman and CEO of a company that had financial ties to President Trump's business and personal ties to Trump's advisor, Steve Bannon. Second, the survivors were not similarly protected, also in violation of the law. Here is another email titled Epstein Victim List. We have blurred the names of the survivors for their protection, but your Department of Justice initially released this list of 32 survivors' names with only one name redacted, along with numerous files that disclose not only the names, the emails, and the addresses of survivors, but also nude photographs and even the identities of Jane Doe's, who had been protected for decades until your department released their names. Survivors are now telling us that their families are finding out for the first time that they were trafficked by Epstein. In their words, quote, "This release does not provide closure. It feels like a deliberate attempt to intimidate survivors, punish those who came forward, and reinforce the same culture of secrecy that allowed Epstein's crimes to continue for decades." To the survivors in the room, if you are willing, please stand. And if you are willing, please raise your hands if you have still not been able to meet with this Department of Justice. Please know for the record that every single survivor has raised their hand. Attorney General Bondi, you apologized to the survivors in your opening statement for what they went through at the hands of Jeffrey Epstein. Will you turn to them now and apologize for what your Department of Justice has put them through with the absolutely unacceptable release of the Epstein files and their information?
Congresswoman, you sat before Merrick Garland sat in this chair twice.
Attorney General Bondi,
no, can I finish my answer?
No, I'm going to reclaim my time because I asked you
a specific question that I would like you to answer,
which is, will you turn to the survivors? This is not about anybody that came before you. It is about you taking responsibility for your Department of Justice and the harm that it has done to the survivors who are standing right behind you and are waiting for you to turn to them and apologize for what your Department of Justice has
done. Members get to ask the questions, the witness gets to answer in the way they want to answer. The
Attorney General can
that's
respond.
Not accurate, Mr. Chairman.
Because she doesn't like the answer. Time.
So, Mr. Chairman,
why
I have asked
didn't she
ask
Merrick Garland this?
I'm reclaiming my time, and when I
will
claim my time, it is
Mr. Chairman, the gentlelady has reclaimed her time.
I'm not going to get in the gutter for her theatrics.
The time belongs to the time belongs to the gentlelady. The gentlelady has 17 seconds.
Thank you. You're not going to answer this question, so let me just
Chairman,
say this.
I'll direct it to
what
you.
What a massive cover-up.
No, I'm answering a question.
Mr. Chairman, will you restore her time? The
I'm
witness is interrupting.
I'm not going to get in the gutter with this woman.
Stop the
She's
time.
She's doing theatrics.
And let me have my
the gentlelady, time. The gentlelady from Washington controls the time. The gentlelady has 17 seconds. You can proceed with your final
Thank you.
17 seconds.
What a massive cover-up this has been and continues to be. Donald Trump made the release of the Epstein files the center of his political campaign because he thought it would benefit him. Then you got into office, Attorney General, claimed to have a client list,
Regular
only to
order.
Then say that there was no list. Your deputy,
time,
Todd Blanche, met alone with Ghislaine Maxwell
the time of the
and transferred her to a minimum security prison. And now you continue
time,
the cover-up, and I
has
wish
expired.
That you would turn around to the survivors who are standing right behind you and on a human level
Chairman,
apologize
Chairman now recognizes
to
the chairman
what you have done.
Time of the gentlelady has expired.
All right, obviously. Bonnie does have a point there, though. It is political theatrics, of course, and you want justice for all of these women, and my heart breaks for all of them, because, again, I mean, they've been ignored for years, and if they did try to file a claim, it was dismissed, dusted off, tossed away, and to hear, too, potentially that a lot of these victims didn't even tell their loved ones that they were Epstein victims, and this is how some of them found out is absolutely devastating, but this is all political theatrics, given the fact that, again, like she said, I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, Garland did sit in that same chair and was never asked these questions. So before they go after Pam Bondi, I get it. It was a commitment laid out by the campaign. But Democrats are only jumping on board because there's some political advantage for this. Folks, we'll bring you back to this in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Let me remind you, every time you subscribe for our supplements, you get 50% off. That's an incredible discount. 50% off. These are high quality products, high quality supplements that you're not going to find anywhere else. I can promise you there's a massive difference between the products we sell here over at thealexjonesstore.com and what you get online. These are top tier products. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. And when you bundle, you're also getting 50% off as well. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com today. Get these items. I'm telling you, folks, 50% off is an incredible savings when you subscribe.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.